This is the State of Things from the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh. I'm Frank Stacio, and you can watch a live stream of today's program at our website, stateofthings.org. North Carolina lawmakers just across the street passed measures in the middle of the night on Tuesday after an eight-month-long session. The final push ended the longest session of the General Assembly since 2001. Among the bills crammed into that session, immigration restrictions, the $2 million transportation bond referendum, and a cap on light rail spending. Capitol reporter Jorge Valencia joins me now. Welcome back, Jorge.
Hello, Frank.
A lot of action in a very short period of time after a very long period of time in which nothing happened.
Yeah.
Hurry up and wait. So one of the most hotly contested bills was about immigration sanctuaries. What was that about?
Well, when Republican lawmakers who proposed this, when they're referring to sanctuaries, they're referring to places like San Francisco that have, for a long time, they've had very deliberate ordinances telling their local law enforcement to not use any local resources to enforce federal immigration laws. So the goal here was to tell all cities and all counties in North Carolina, you will not direct your police department officers to not collect people's immigration information.
All right. And so what? So localities have been doing that a long time. Republican Party is the party of small central government. Give the power to the people locally. That's their power. So, of course, they would be all behind these localities passing their own ordinances. But no.
No, not really. There's I counted seven or eight different localities that have this. The first one was Carver in 2005. So it would affect just a handful of these. But I think they're trying to make a statement about the few that are doing this and telling everybody else, don't think about
this. This is Raleigh telling the rest of the state in those localities how to pass ordinances and what not to pass. And, of course, this is about immigration. And so give us a sense of how the debate went.
Well, this was, some of the most heated debate that I heard all year. It got a little bit contentious, sometimes a little bit emotional last week in the Senate. But then in the House, where they had the debate the very last night of session, the House, it's a much larger body, more people to talk. So it got much more heated, and people had a lot more that they wanted to get off their chest about this. I mean, in fact, I was kind of surprised about it. I mean, it was more heated than some of the abortion-related debates that we've had earlier this year.
No, and I think some of the true colors showed through about exactly what was on the agenda for this legislature, whether it was about public policy or revenge, as Jerry Tillman, a Republican senator, expressed when he expressed his review.
You want to start with Durham, Chapel Hill, Charlotte? Carrboro, you know where those liberal bastions are. And if you have policies like that, who in the world could stand up and say, that's okay, we want to be a sanctuary city. We need to punish them. If I could, I'd take their charters.
There you go, punishment and revenge. So, I mean, I think their critics that's what critics of this Republican legislature have been saying for a long time. Those critics are saying it's all about revenge and about punishment rather than about sound public policy.
Yeah, you know, that theme that you're touching on is an undercurrent has been an undercurrent for several years, or maybe historically has been a tension here that we have in the state. North Carolina is one of a few states that are, some people call a mother may I state, in which the General Assembly has the authority over the entire state, and they really can tell the cities and the counties what they can do. In fact, they could decide to run the state completely from Raleigh. So that is certainly an undercurrent in this bill for sure. And I talked to several mayors about it, and they were pretty upset about it. Even for mayors in cities that are not one of these liberal bastions that Senator Tillman was referring to.
Liberal bastions. We thought we were going to have to bleep them there for a minute. So the debate came very heated. Let's listen to what a Democrat had to say, Charles Graham, who is also a Native American. Let's listen to what he had to say about immigration in North Carolina.
None of you would be here had my ancestors not accepted you. We could have chopped your heads off. We could have scalped you. We could have put you back out on the water and sent you where you came from. We opened our arms to you.
How far did you get with that argument?
Like I said, it got very, very heated in there. I mean, he started off what he was saying right there. He proceeded by saying, I'm not going to make a very strong political statement, but then that's what he had to say.
And so. You sure wish Colbert was still on the air with the Colbert Report when you hear this clip. Kelly Hastings, again, talking about – because there are accusations that this is anti-immigrant and in some ways racist, that what the United States is doing, what North Carolina is doing here is somehow prejudicial against ethnic groups. And Kelly Hastings said, oh, no, not us.
In fact, in high school, one of my best friends was from Cuba. His name was Jesus Loasas. I didn't view him as Hispanic or Cuban or anything else. Whether a person's from South America or Eastern Europe or wherever, we do have to keep our mind on the sovereignty of this country.
All right, Jorge, let's move on. Another bill that dealt with food assistance access, right? Tell us about that.
Well, actually, you know, that was a provision that was part of this bill, and it was inserted very late in the law writing process. So it gives you a little bit of a glimpse of just how quickly things can change in the General Assembly. The crux of it is that the General Assembly is directing the health department and telling them that they can no longer apply for extensions from the federal government so that people, able-bodied adults, can further apply after a certain period of time for SNAP benefits, as they're actually called. I think the Republican leadership really wanted to make a statement and in a way force people who are able-bodied adults to get to work.
All right, and so that's all part of the same measure in it all.
That's all part of the same bill. I know it doesn't sound like it's got a lot to do with immigration, but they put all that together in the same bill.
All right, another controversial bill about funding charter schools. What happened with that?
You know, actually, that was something that we were watching very closely when it came up last week. Again, you know, like you were saying at the top of the program, you know, we had a little bit of a lull and all of a sudden a bunch of things happening at the last minute. So this was something that came up last week in a committee, and it would force public schools, or I should say traditional public schools, to send more of their money, some local taxes, to charter public schools. And then it turned out it eventually didn't happen.
All right. So light rail project, again, kind of another late entry after all the time they'd spent on other issues.
Yeah.
For those who were looking forward in big urban areas to light rail, this came as quite a blow. Tell us what happened to the light rail funding.
Well, Durham and Orange counties have been trying for years, had this project that they want to get light rail here. And they were asking for – it was more than $100 million that they were hoping and they were expecting to get. And then at the last minute – and didn't get completely cut, but almost, because it came down to $500,000. So, you know, some of the local leaders say this doesn't necessarily eliminate our hopes for having light rail, but it makes it a lot harder.
All right. And so and a lot of the funding does come from the federal and localities, but they were counting on some of this money as well.
Yeah.
In other news, longtime Republican Representative Paul Stamm announced that he would not seek reelection. Did that come as a surprise?
Well, it certainly did to me. I mean, I felt like a jolt of electricity at 4 o'clock in the morning when he made that announcement at the very end of session. He's sort of seen as a very strong conservative leader. He was the minority leader when the Republicans were in the minority in the House. And that was also paralleled with a Representative Rick Glaser, who was also seen as a very strong liberal figure. He's sort of a counterbalance to Skip Stamm, who retired earlier this session. So those two retirements, I think, were surprises for a lot of people.
Now, he will be in the legislature in the upcoming session.
He's not running
for re-election.
Yeah, as you know, they've got two terms. You know, he said he's still got plenty of things that he wants to get accomplished next year. But once the session's done next year, then that'll be at least the end of his run at the General Assembly.
Now, we know that the governor has essentially facing a veto-proof legislature. It is his own party. On the other hand, there's always the chance that this is a great thing about having bluegrass musicians in here. We're going to hear from you a little bit later. But in our studio today, we're doing some live bluegrass as well. But the governor has now until October 30th to sign or veto some of these measures. Again, there's a veto-proof legislature. Mm-hmm. It's his own party, and yet he has to stand for re-election. Do we have a sense that certainly the legislature has pulled the state far to the right? It's taken the straight to the extreme of the right end of the spectrum. The governor is going to have to run in the middle. Do any of these pieces of legislation pose political problems to him? What do we expect?
As far as I can tell, I mean, they left him with a docket of about 30 bills when they adjourned. And as far as I can tell, I haven't gotten any indication that he plans on vetoing any of these bills. The immigration bill that we were talking about a few minutes ago, he sent an email to his campaign supporters on Monday telling them that he wants them to join him in opposing any city that is a sanctuary for undocumented immigrants. So it seems very likely that he's going to sign that one. In fact, actually, just a couple of blocks from where we're sitting right now, there are some activists who are petitioning him to veto that bill. But it seems very likely that he's going to sign that one. The rest of the 30 or so bills that he's got, it seems likely that he would sign them. I don't have a clear indication on that. But if he does, then the General Assembly would have to reconvene for a special session if they did want to, as you said, override that veto.
All right, Jorge, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Frank.
WNC Capitol reporter Jorge Valencia. Just ahead, a film about bluegrass music that spans the globe. We're live from the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh at the Wide Open Bluegrass Festival, taking place right here. The Steel Wheels, one of the bands that are entertaining us this weekend, and they're here for some live music. We're going to get a sample of their music just ahead and hear more from them on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. The Steel Wheels.